Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. Well, many of us know how accessible the iPhones are to the blind and visually impaired. But, you know, the Android operating system for smartphones has been continually improving over the years. And so the question comes up as to, if I get another phone, should it be an iPhone, an Android phone, or what? What are the differences? I don't know which phone to pick. Well, this week we'll try to help you answer some of those questions.
We'll speak with Anna Garza, more commonly known in the blindness community as Access Anna, who recently published a book called Getting Started with Android, about using Android devices with TalkBack. But first, for our tip of the week, this week's tip comes from Anna.
My tip is kind of about the process of writing the book. So writing this book took a long time, and the shape of the book changed a lot over time, because I kept rethinking who my end user was and who my reader was going to be. And it was very overwhelming, but I found that if I just focused on writing a little at a time, the book completed itself. And I was also able to imagine my reader more clearly and rearrange things to fit my key reader. And I think this is an important thing to be aware of, because when we ask questions, we need to let people know where we're coming from. Are we totally new to using a device? Are we experienced device users? Have we had Android before? Do we have misconceptions about it? So when you go on a forum and you ask a question, try to let people know where you're coming from so you get the best answers that you will get.
You know, I think there are actually two interesting aspects tied up into Anna's tip. And one is to know your target audience. You know, if you know who you're involved in this project for and what the eventual goal is, you have a much better chance of actually being successful at meeting the requirements of that target audience and making a positive impression. The other aspect of that tip is that, you know, she said it was a big, long project, and it took her a long time to put together this book. It was very detailed and a lot of work. And I think the idea here is that some tasks can look very overwhelming, but if you nip away at them a little chunk at a time, you eventually wind up with the project being done.
Let's start by meeting Anna and learning a bit about what she uses her Android device for, both in her personal life and at work.
Anna, you've been on Eyes on Success several times in the past, talking about knitting, about working with Android systems, to mention just a few of the shows that you've been in. But maybe you, for our listeners who don't remember, you can introduce yourself again.
Yes, my name is Anna. I'm better known as Anna G or Access Anna. And my big claim to fame is that I really like Android. I've had an Android since the platform became accessible, and I like telling people about how to use their Android devices.
And as far as I understand, you're fairly well respected in the community that discusses accessibility issues on Android devices.
Yes, I have groupies. I like groupies. I love my people. The Android community is actually a very generous community. People who know a lot about how to use their devices are very generous with their information. We're also a little rowdy, but we share info.
Anyway, we'll be talking a little bit more with you about your book about getting started with Android in just a bit. But maybe you can tell people what you do in real life and when you're not working with Android systems.
Well, I'm an English teacher. I mostly teach a freshman comp, and I'm also a court interpreter. So I have two secret lives.
And you do all this while being visually impaired, so you're an ideal person to talk about using an Android system from the perspective of being visually impaired.
Absolutely, and of using your device as part of work. So I do. My interpreting is as a freelancer, So I use text messaging and calendar and so on to keep track of my jobs and to communicate with the people who hire me. And as a teacher, I also use my Android device to interact with my students by email and by using apps like Blackboard with just an instructional management type app.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
This week's focus topic is Anna's recently published book about working with an Android device with a visual impairment.
So let's get started by telling people the name of your book, and then we can talk about what it contains.
Well, the book I wrote is called Getting Started with Android, Getting to Know Android with TalkBack. And it's published by National Braille Press. NBP has a wide catalog of publications. A lot of them happen to be iOS related. And so they decided that it was time that Android users had a book of their own. And so we started with a 3-volume book that introduces new users to Android. So this book is ideal for people who are thinking about trying Android, who are pretty new to Android, or people who have been using Android and they know the basics, but they feel that there are a lot of bits and pieces that are missing. So this book covers the layout of the screen, and it covers how to use TalkBack and the commands for TalkBack. TalkBack is Google Screen Reader. And it also, in the process of doing all of that, shows you how to use a lot of basic apps like email and calendar and messaging.
So this book was published by the National Braille Press. Presumably they published it in Braille. What other formats is it available in?
I believe they also have DAISY and possibly large print. You can download the files or you can order hard copies.
We actually recorded this interview well before the book was available. But now, if you look on the National Braille Press website, and we'll have a link in the show notes, it shows that you can get this book in Braille, eBraille, DAISY, eBook, ASCII text, or Word format. And many of these are available as either a download or you can get it sent to you on a USB drive.
So before we get into talking about some of the specific hints and suggestions you might have for people contained in the book to work with an Android system, I scanned through your book and I thought one of the very interesting parts right in the beginning was talking a little bit about the accessibility of iOS devices versus Android systems for the visually impaired. And, you know, maybe Android isn't for everybody or iOS isn't for everybody. Can you give people kind of a summary of how to make that initial decision?
Well, iOS is very familiar to the blind and visually impaired community. It's very well known. People have been using it for 5 or 6 years by this point. But Android has done a lot of evolving from when accessibility was first introduced. And so there's a lot of misinformation. Some of the information that people are carrying around is from early Android. So there's a lot of confusion about what Android does and doesn't do. The introduction covers some of the differences. I would say that at this point, Android and iOS are pretty comparable. The only areas where I think iOS is still a little stronger is in text editing and text manipulation, and also probably Braille. In terms of differences between the two platforms, I noticed that recently we have a lot of people leaving iOS and coming over to Android, you know, like new converts. We're very happy. So they're coming over and they struggle because Android has far fewer gestures. So it's a different workflow, but I would say that those are the main differences.
Well, I think anytime you change from one OS to another, whether it's PC to Mac or iOS to Android or vice versa, it's a challenge because you get used to doing things a certain way, and then all of a sudden it's very different, and you say, well, why doesn't this work on this new system? So maybe you just have to be a little patient.
Absolutely, and even if it's not a bad difference, it's just a difference, and so the universe has ended, you know?
Yeah. As we all know, Android and Apple are forever introducing new operating systems, and your book just came out. Which versions of the operating systems are you talking about?
Well, what we've decided is that we're going to start with Android 5.0 and above. And so for people familiar with Android nicknames, that would be Lollipop, Marshmallow, and Nougat. That's a 5.x, 6.x, and 7.x. Because Android has not changed overall, you should be able to use the book if you're using Android 4.1 and above. But there are certain features that are only available in newer versions of Android. But the reason we started with 5.0 as our baseline is that 5.0 has improvements in the way the web is handled, and things are a lot more stable. They're easier to work with. So that's sort of where our starting point is. But we tried throughout the book to say, in earlier versions of Android, things are different in this way, or you might try this other thing.
So maybe you can give our listeners an overview of how the book is organized.
Well, the book is organized in basically four sections. The first chapter is an overview of what Android is like as an operating system, what you can expect from it. And the second chapter is how to set it up, either with sighted help or on your own. Then the second section is a couple of chapters of basics, what the basic gestures are, the ones you'll be using most often, like tapping and swiping, and how to manipulate controls, like in practice by becoming familiar with settings and making a few adjustments. Then we get, in the next chapter, used to general screen layout. So most screens have five layers to them, two skinny layers at the top, two skinny layers at the bottom. And so if you get used to visualizing the screen, you can find things more easily and more consistently. The last section is also about three chapters, and they're sort of reviewing all of the gestures in email, learning to download and find your own apps on the Play Store, and learning to make apps more accessible. Now, the big middle section of the book is divided into chapters. Each chapter covers one talkback gesture and one app that helps you practice it. For example, the chapter on messaging will tell you about long pressing and how to do it with accessibility enabled. And what it does, it brings up additional options, or it lets you select things for group operations. And the cool thing is that the Messenger app uses the long press in this way. So you also learn to send and receive text messages. We've tried to make the book very practical. So each chapter covers one accessibility gesture and one or two apps.
In the spirit of making the book very practical, I'd like to compliment you on how you laid out your table of contents, which, depending on the format, will be several pages long. And it's like a detailed outline of the book. You know, it's not just that you have eight chapter headings. You've got what's inside the chapter and then down to the next level. And it's very easy to see where any topic you're looking for might be located.
Well, you know, that was a big decision. As a teacher, I know that some people read the book from beginning to end, and some people read only the parts they want to read. And so I had to think about how to accommodate both types of readers. And so I organized the book to be read from beginning to end. But knowing the sneaky people who, you know, don't follow directions, I made a very detailed table of contents so they could find what they want very quickly without getting confused.
Well, it was effective.
This sounds like it's laid out very nicely then, so people can either get an overview of how to use the Android system in general, but also, since you go through some specific applications, people should come away with a knowledge of how to use the applications that are likely to be most important in their daily lives.
My feeling was that people should finish reading this book knowing how to use TalkBack. You know, as blind people, knowing how to use your screen reader is about half the battle in knowing how to use your technology. So that was important. And the other thing was how to get things done. I sit on the Android list, I read messages, and there are lots of messages on that list, probably 100 to 150 a day. And I started to pay attention to the messages that are being posted by new people. What kinds of questions were they asking? What kinds of apps were they interested in using? And so I focused on the ones that they seemed to want to know most about.
Well, that's a great way of selecting topics for a book that's aimed at those people.
And I guess people can also use this as a reference for which particular application for a particular task might be the most accessible. I mean, I assume there are various mail programs one could use or various messaging programs, and some are accessible and some are easier to use and some are not.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's a misconception that a lot of Google apps are not accessible, and that's because in the early days, you know, accessibility was hit and miss. And so I made a point of focusing on the apps that are pre-installed on your device. I only mentioned a couple of third-party apps to help with editing, but it's how to use the Gmail app that comes with your phone, the Messenger that comes with your phone, the Notepad that comes with your phone, the Calendar that comes with your phone, etc. So, you know, you can branch out once you feel confident, but you have a place to start.
So you really are addressing several needs in the user community. You've got a tutorial for the new user, but you've also incorporated into the same book a reference manual for more experienced users who just need to go back and say, well, how do I use this feature that maybe I'm not as familiar with?
Absolutely. And I actually learned a lot while writing this book. For example, Now on Tap is a new feature. It was introduced in Marshmallow, which is Android 6.0. And basically, you long press the home button to get more information about the things that are already on the screen. So if I'm reading an email and a friend of mine mentions a restaurant, one of the things that might come up when I go into the Now on Tap screen is more information about the restaurant. I hadn't used that feature very much, and I learned to use it. And I learned to select a different piece of text on the screen. So I think that even intermediate and advanced users will find tips here and there that may prove useful.
So it sounds like accessibility has really matured over the years from when Google first came out with their phones, the Android system, and now it is quite comparable to iOS systems, maybe just a little bit different. And particularly, I guess, if you stick with the Google apps to start with, you have a good launching pad.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You did mention that you did have difficulty with some specific editing tasks and Braille. Can you talk a little bit about those issues that still need to be run down, perhaps?
Yeah, editing is doable on Android, but it takes a million steps. For example, to select text in order to cut and paste, you need to go into one menu and then into a second menu. Local context menu, then cursor control menu to start selection mode. Then you need to move to where the selected text ends and then go back through the two layers of menu to cut. And then you need to move the cursor to wherever you're going to paste something. And again, go through the two layers of menu. So, you know, everything just takes way too many steps. And so it is doable. And as you get used to it, it, you know, only feels like 100 steps. But that could use a little TLC. Braille is improving. Some places don't have Braille yet. Some advanced reading apps don't have it. Some do. So I'm not sure that Android is ideal for a deafblind person yet. But Braille is improving, and we are getting Braille in more places. Playbooks now has Braille, and Kindle has Braille, so that's nice. And so does Adobe Reader.
Well, that's nice that they seem to be improving. They know what the issues are, and that things are getting better. Are any of these editing tasks facilitated by using a Bluetooth keyboard?
Using a Bluetooth keyboard does help. But TalkBack is inconsistent about telling you whether you've selected text or telling you whether you've pasted text and so on. So things are improving, but a little attention would benefit the accessibility experience.
Well, I must say one thing that is nice about the Android system, and I'm sometimes a little jealous about being an iOS user, is that, you know, you can get into your file system and know where you're putting certain files, and you can see what's in there. And sometimes that's a frustration for people who like to manage their own system in iOS, and, you know, you have no insight into where things are in your system and moving things around. It's hard to sync up sometimes and get things exactly how you like them.
Yes, I would say that Android is for people who are very interested in managing their own stuff, gosh darn it. And they have big discussions about the freedom to manage your own stuff. That's a very powerful thing for Android users.
One other choice that Android users have that iOS users really don't is they get to select their device from many, many manufacturers and many, many different devices from each manufacturer. And you'll probably hear your sighted friends talking about, oh, I got the latest Android device and it's the size of a refrigerator and it's terrific because I can see everything on the screen. Which, if any, of the Android devices would you recommend to somebody who's using it with TalkBack? Obviously, screen size is not going to be a big issue for blind people who interact with the device using speech only.
Well, screen size is a big driver for low vision users. I noticed they like the big tablet-y phones that, you know, are almost 7 inches and so on. But it kind of depends. In the early days of Android, manufacturers would sometimes interfere with accessibility with newer devices. As long as you're buying a device that's maybe 4.4 or later, that shouldn't be a problem. Device manufacturers have gotten a lot better about respecting accessibility and not getting in its way. I happen to like pure Android devices like the Nexus 5X or the Nexus 6P, the ones that are put out by Google. But Motorola is also a fairly close to pure experience. Some people like Samsung devices, which have extra gestures, and they usually have a physical home button. And I noticed that people who are transitioning from iOS tend to like Samsung devices. You know, every device manufacturer has its fans, the HTC folks and the Huawei folks and so on. You know, the nice thing is we do have choice now, and there isn't a whole lot in terms of concerns about interfering with accessibility now.
So I guess the best thing to do is to go down to your local phone distributor and check out some of these hands-on in person, and then also probably join some user forums and do some research on the net to get some feedback from actual users.
Absolutely, absolutely. And devices that are put out by specific manufacturers do have their hiccups here and there, but for the most part, the best way to know whether a phone is right for you is to get on a list, to ask about it, and if you have a problem, ask about ways to work around it.
Now for this week's final item, how to reach Anna, how to get her book, and other useful resources that can help you learn to work with the Android system.
So if people are interested in learning a little about the Android system, learning to use their Android phone a little better, thinking about making the change, where can they get your book?
Well, they can get the book from the National Braille Press at www.nbp.org, where we are part of their fall catalog. You can get information about apps from a user-driven website called www.inclusiveandroid.com, or you can go to the Google Groups Eyes Free list.
And as you mentioned, these user forums can be quite useful for asking questions of other people with experience in other areas of the device, or if you don't have a device, asking them how it works for them. You're a contributor to these groups yourself, I take it.
Absolutely. I usually spend about an hour in the morning or evening catching up on email, but there are other experienced users who are very generous with their information. The Eyes Free list is pretty high traffic, and people get a little rambunctious sometimes, so you got to be patient. People are also very kind and generous.
And for people who might be picking up an Android device for the first time, is there an easy way of getting help with the device before they refer to your book or some of these other resources?
Yes, Google also has an official help page, and that'll be in the show notes.
If people want to reach you to ask you any questions, how would you recommend they do that?
Probably the best way is to just post messages to the Eyes Free Android list, because I read messages there. Or people can follow me on Twitter. I'm at AccessAnna, that's AccessAnna.
It was a great idea to put together that book. I mean, because, you know, the iOS thing is so kind of ingrained in the visually impaired. And for a long time, the Android systems just, you know, weren't nearly as accessible and uniform in their experience as iOS. So to let people know that things have finally come a long way to the point where, you know, it's usable and comparable is a very good thing. And without a book like that, people have no way of knowing.
Yeah, and I really feel proud of it, because I think that Google's worked hard to get things accessible and the communities have worked hard to push for things. So I think it's good.
Yeah. So in the show notes associated with this episode, we will have a direct link to the page on the National Braille Press's website where you can find Anna's book. And also in the show notes, as usual, you'll find all the rest of the contact information that we talked about and the resources that we discussed. Just go to our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net. And I'd also like to put in a special plug for the National Braille Press. They have a variety of books available in Braille, electronic, and other formats, ranging from just fiction books to nonfiction books, cooking books. I learned C by getting the Kernighan and Ritchie book on programming C over 25 years ago, and it was all in Braille and very easy to reference.
And I have a personal soft spot for their children's print Braille book program, where they make popular children's books available in both print and Braille in the same book. And we collected a whole bunch of these when our kids were little so that Daddy could read bedtime stories as well as Mommy reading bedtime stories. And the kids loved it, and Pete loved it. And now that we have our first grandchild, we've started buying a whole new set for him.
So check out the catalogs at the National Braille Press, and you might be amazed at what you'll find.
That's it for show number 1647. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be speaking with Emily Michael, a blind poet, musician, and writing instructor. Her work has appeared in many publications and focuses on creative nonfiction topics such as disability, music, education, and the environment. We'll speak with her about her work and how she has overcome challenges in employment, getting published, and working in the classroom. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-210-8094.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey, and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. Browse the full archive of programs, find instructions for subscribing to the podcasts, and much more at www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also find us on iTunes, follow us on Facebook and on audioboom.com, at Eyes on Success, or Twitter at @_EyesOnSuccess. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success, and have a nice day.